Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production. You are now listening to The Crunch Zone, broadcasting live from the Sea of Cortez. This is Crumb's Revenge, also known as Mike Lindsay, and I'm sitting here with
Mark Plankenbaker, also known as at UofL Sheriff 50.
And we've got a show for you. As you know, we're on our summer cycle, which is every 2 weeks. Last week was a busy week as I was in Mexico, and Mark Blankenbaker was in
New Orleans
celebrating his
bachelor party. I'm getting married in September.
He made it back alive, and we're going to talk about baseball. We're going to talk about the NBA draft. We're going to talk about program updates. It's the Crunch Zone coming at you right now.
Topic of the week.
All right, Mark, you survived New Orleans, which I know from firsthand accounts is not easy, as we were down there for the Sugar Bowl together.
It was difficult, I'm not going to lie. And I'm almost happy. I'm not happy, but the baseball team, the whole plan was to go directly from New Orleans to Omaha if Louisville had been in the championship series. But we all know they went down. And so for me, I was like, this is actually kind of a good thing because, like, Monday,
a hungover drive to Omaha
was rough.
It would be bad.
Yeah, it was really, really rough. So, but I would have gladly have gone, and it would have been a blast. And I kind of wish I had done it, but I'm not, and I'm here in Louisville, and I'm happy to be here. So
now, when we were down there, a lot of folks may not know, but when we were down there last in New Orleans, we had the goal of going to a voodoo shop to put a voodoo hex on Florida for the Sugar Bowl.
Yep.
And we ran into the first place where they got really nasty, and that's when we learned, oh, okay, so voodoo is like a serious religion. So
it is.
We are sorry
and
about
you
that.
And you don't do hexes.
Yeah.
You don't do hexes. You do blessings for your own team.
Yeah.
And so we went to this other voodoo shop and asked for a blessing for UofL
after literally
sports.
Almost being thrown out of the first shop.
Yeah, we did get thrown out.
Get the F out.
And then we realized how rude that actually is. But we learned something.
Came around.
It would have been better to have a much more gentle education lesson than the one that we received. But anyway, we went to this thing. We waited for this voodoo doctor. And then Louisville, as we know, went on to win the Sugar Bowl, go to the College World Series, win the national championship, and be whatever the women's runner-up.
It was creepy, though. Folks, we were sitting there. And,
it was really creepy.
And this guy, and so we changed our approach, and we said, okay, well, we want to help our team play better against Florida in this big Sugar Bowl game.
Yep.
And he could already see that we were a bunch of jacklegs who really had nothing to do with his
religion.
This religion of voodoo. And he had a museum, and there was people in there that were younger than us. They were very serious. I mean, they're pointing at pictures on the wall. Oh, that's this person from like 100 years ago. That's this person. That's this person.
And it was quite educational. And I'll never, ever, ever disrespect the religion of voodoo again.
Yeah. He showed us the picture of his like 50-foot-long snake that was upstairs.
Yeah, and I think he was actually going to bring it down for us, but we left before that could happen.
Yeah, we're like, it's getting a little weird in here.
it started getting really strange.
Kind of sapped the fun out of the idea, and just got the hell out of
it. We just left, yes. And we went later on that afternoon, and we did win the Sugar Bowl.
That's right, we'll take full credit.
And we're thankful for whatever voodoo happened
in
there.
Those players deserve no credit. Neither do the coaches.
Absolutely not. But New Orleans is a good time.
So I'm assuming you didn't visit any voodoo shops there because the baseball team lost.
Well, I was there after the baseball team lost. So that happened before. So maybe I should have done it the previous weekend. But no, it was a good time. How was Mexico?
It was hot. It was beautiful. It was hot. I've never been to Los Cabos, and I will definitely go back.
Yes, it's
very
pretty.
It's pretty. There's deserts. There's mountains. There's ocean. Good food, and it's relatively safe as Mexico goes. So.
But there's no Cardinal Athletics.
There is no Cardinal Athletics, and no care for Cardinal Athletics down there.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it goes when you're in a different country.
Well, let's talk baseball. So, Louisville went against their newfound rival. Recently, they keep running into Vanderbilt. They upset Vanderbilt last year with the two-game sweep in the Super Regionals at Vanderbilt when they were top, like number two in the country, I believe, and beat them this year. So they had a three-game win streak, which I believe is like Louisville's like one of the only teams to ever do that recently?
Yeah, in a long time. Yeah. And Vanderbilt's going to play for the national championship. They're a game away from winning the national championship right now. They probably win it tonight, maybe. So by the time you hear this podcast, Vandy could be the national champions. But it was really interesting. I think it was a great run for Louisville to get there. Dan McDonald's post-game press conference against Kennesaw State was really emotional, and I had requests from ESPN and Baseball America and Sporting News and a lot of other publications to use it and embed it, and I granted all those. And it was just – it was wild, you know, because it's like you advance to Omaha through Kennesaw State. Louisville rolled into Omaha. They didn't even – they never faced elimination before, prior to getting there, and they were actually looking like they were playing great baseball, just like a year ago. And then they ran into Vanderbilt, and it was an ugly scene. Really.
Yeah, and Funkhauser didn't have his normal Funkhauser game, though. It seemed like it took him a while to get settled in, which is unfortunate because he's been dynamite all year long.
Yeah, he labored to get outs, and he normally throws some balls, okay, but he doesn't normally walk guys. So he'll mix up his counts, but he walked six batters. Louisville Naughton walked nine in total. I don't remember how many. I figured it was four errors. And it was too much, you know. They didn't play Louisville baseball. They didn't get their bats going. The wind was blowing in like 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
In a big
park. Is
that
regular?
I don't think it's normal.
Because I remember them talking about how you knew the balls were not going to get out of the stadium. Almost like this stadium is not a stadium you can hit out on or something.
Well, TD Ameritrade was built with the live bat in mind, you know, because they were at Rosenblatt before, and they had some ridiculous, I forget the exact scores, like 18-15 College World Series final. And it was like really embarrassing, and everybody's like, you know, what do we do? This is getting really out of hand. These bats are jacking all these balls. And so they said, well, we're going to do two things. We're going to take away these bats because there were some injuries happening. I said, and also when we're building this new ballpark, we're going to build it into the wind, into the prevailing wind, but then also much larger than what Rosenblatt is. And in theory, it was a great idea, but now I think they've found after several College World Series and TD Ameritrade that they probably need to move those fences about 15 feet in if they're going to continue. They are, however, changing the ball. They're going to lower the seams on the ball, which allows it more flight, allows the pitchers a little less control. So both those things combined, their pitchers won't be able to throw as aggressive of
bigger hits. Yeah. More hit batters, more hit home runs.
And the breaking balls won't break as aggressively. Yeah. It'll be more like Major League Baseball. And so those two things would probably help out a lot. So I don't expect them to move the fences in this year. I bet they see how the ball flies and next College World Series. But, you know, Dan and Texas and Vanderbilt, they all played their outfielders super close in because there was just no way in that wind. That ball is going anywhere. So, lowered seams aren't really going to help against a 30-mile-an-hour wind. So.
Yeah. You could tell that Dan McDonald was a little, not irritated, but just frustrated with I guess, the playing conditions to a certain degree. He doesn't make excuses. So, he wasn't doing that. But when they asked him in the post game, this was against Texas, but it applies to all the games. Mm-hmm. They were just talking about Omaha experience. Knowing you're down and there's only five outs left in the game, and you know you can't really hit out of that, you know, to try to come back. What are you doing? And, what are you thinking about strategically? He's like, well, I've got two guys on, no outs, and I'm sack bunting. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I mean, when you get down in that ballpark, like the odds of you coming back and actually winning are, like, ridiculous. But both teams have to play in them.
Yeah.
And the main thing is you can't have your stud pitcher, Kyle Funkhauser, go out there and walk a bunch of batters and labor to get it out. I mean, some of those innings were ridiculously long, and Louisville just wasn't efficient on the mound. I mean, in both games.
Yeah.
You know, the second game was better. They threw Kidston and actually
Stupid Texas. But why is Texas trying to take everything from us this year?
They took everything from us. They took our baseball season. They took our football coach. And I was excited to play them because I liked our matchup with them, especially with Kidston on the mound. It just didn't go our way. Our bats kind of betrayed us. We made a lot of mistakes in the field. And, Louisville just didn't play Louisville baseball. And, you know, they've been there twice in a row. this was a bridge year. Tom George said after they beat Kennesaw State, he said this was a rebuilding year.
Yeah.
This team wasn't supposed to go to College World Series.
And I think everybody knew. I mean, they lost seven players, like seven juniors. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, like to the draft last year. I mean, they just got depleted.
They're losing a bunch this year. I mean, you're talking about Nick Birdie, Jeff Gardner.
Yeah. Eight drafted. How many are going to be gone out of those eight?
Not all of them, but some, a lot of them will be. But it's the freshman class that's coming in. It's the freshmen and sophomores that were on this team.
And the entire weekend pitching rotation, I understand, is coming back.
They are.
And that's huge.
And it's going to be awesome. I mean, the pitchers that you saw this year, Funkhauser, Kidston, and Rogers, they're all coming back.
Yeah, and maybe Rexer, I guess, if he heals right.
I don't know if Rexer will be back or not. I mean, it's up to him. But he has the option to go on Major League Baseball.
Okay.
And because he was drafted, I forget by who, but somebody picked him up. And Nick Birdie just signed his deal with the Twins, $1.2 million. He signed that today, on Tuesday.
That's our Twin City.
So, I know the NBA draft happens on Thursday, and hopefully Russ gets picked up by the Timberwolves.
Yeah,
so that would be great.
Late second round. Gorgie has a lot of influence. I read – well, we'll get into that stuff later. But Birdie, I'm going to miss – I really enjoyed watching him shut a game down.
Yeah, but the good news is that we still have a Birdie.
Yeah,
because
that's true.
His younger brother, they think he may actually be more talented than Nick. Zach,
as much power?
Yes. Well, he's not currently as strong as his older brother is today, but he's throwing 98 as a freshman, and that's a little bit better than what Nick was throwing as a freshman.
Okay.
So if you get Nick at 97 as a freshman, you get Zach at around 98, 99 as a freshman.
Nice.
Well, then you can expect probably 102 if the work ethics is there.
Yeah.
And that's what Dan McDonald says about the Birdies. Their dad played football, real big guy.
Yeah.
He's like, these guys are workhorses. Like, they love to work and go in and improve. And Nick Birdie, I mean, I loved what he said. I actually asked him a question about, what he felt about the draft. And he said, everybody asked me if I'm disappointed. He's like, I'm not disappointed because he didn't go in the first round. And he's like, I'm pissed off because he worked his tail off. He won the closer of the year in college baseball. But in the end, he found himself in a baseball town, in a really, really good city for baseball, and a good position that can need him. And don't be surprised if he pitches for the Twins this summer around August. He's going to report to Cedar Rapids this week.
Yeah.
And, if they like what they see,
it's hard to find a 100-mile-an-hour closer
with a lot of movement. And really what they need to see is college baseball. Like we talked about, those seams. Those seams are raised. If he can throw with that kind of action with the Major League Baseball seams, he'll be pitching by August.
Put that in the long line of things that irritate me about college sports to pro sports is why are we playing a basketball game differently? You'd think you'd train your whole life, and you should be playing the same game, the basketball, 3-point line to the college 3-point line, the basketball lane to the 3-point lane.
In college football and NFL, they play with smaller hashes in the NFL.
Yeah, and then
so you can get wider fields in college football.
And the different rules for there's a lot of penalties that carry a different rule. I just wish they'd play consistently because I don't watch enough pro sports. I'm the dumbass that's calling out for the college rule during a pro game when they're like, yeah, that's not pros.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's some subtle changes for the most part, but in football, in high school, they play with the white ribbon all the way around the football. In college, it's a half ribbon. And in the NFL, there's no ribbon.
What the hell is that?
It's a visual effect that happens on the ball. It allows the receiver to see it a little bit better for the passing game. In the NFL, you don't get that at all. Women's basketball plays with a smaller basketball. They play with the same 3-point line, I think. Maybe they don't.
Yeah, I don't know.
But there's all these different things that are like a million different rules.
But just staying in, I don't understand women's and men's might have some differences. But if you're an elite college basketball player, elite college football player, when you go pro, it should be the same damn game, just better people. I don't understand why. Like, nope, now the court's bigger. Now the rules are different. I don't know. It's the same game. I don't know why we have to make it different.
Well, in college baseball, the argument is always to allow these guys to use wooden bats because in the major leagues, they draft out of college and high school. Well, if they know that a guy's been hitting well with a wooden bat in college, he doesn't have to worry about making that transition, and he can actually give him a leg up over the kid coming out of high school.
Yeah.
So they've been hitting with a wooden bat. The kid out of high school, he's hitting well, but you might get more of the really, really good players from high school that are kind of like maybe they should go pro, maybe they should go to college. We don't know. You might get more of those into college if you give the college kid the advantage of using wood during the season. And with the way the College World Series is and the television contracts, they can afford wooden bats now. A lot of these smaller programs used to not be able to, but there's so much of this of these smaller programs actually making it to the College World Series, and the way the revenue split is now, they should be able to, you know, justify the switch to wood. And I think that would really help out the college game a lot. And then, you know, they can flatten that ball. They can get wood bats. They can get more pro-ready players into Major League Baseball quicker. And then that's another argument for Major League Baseball to justify drafting really good college players.
Yeah.
And they don't have to make as big of an investment while these players are developing.
Yeah.
So
I've really enjoyed the baseball season. I love it so much more when it's on ESPN because I just like the close-ups. I like all that stuff. But Dan McDonald's style of play of stealing bases and bunting and always mixing it up and keeping the defense on their heels makes watching baseball so different than watching a lot of your pro games. A lot of people say nothing happens in baseball, and largely that's true. It's kind of like soccer. You're waiting for strikes of lightning to make things exciting, except for soccer is even void of that many strikes of lightning. But it's Dan McDonald's style baseball is a lot of fun. It is exciting. And I think he's gaining more and more fans. I mean, they broke a record in Kennesaw State, I think, game one, and then turned around and broke it again on the next try, over 6,000 people.
Yeah, they broke it 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
They broke it against Kentucky. No, they did not break it against Kentucky, I think because of the rain. I'll just check that. But then they did definitely break it 2 days in a row with Kennesaw State. I do think they broke it 3 days in a row, but I can't say that for 100%.
So if you haven't caught a baseball game out there, I mean, it's, you know, and if you just want to warm up with the rivalry game, you know, something that you know is going to have a lot of passion.
Yeah.
But they play exciting baseball. It's fun. It's a great arena. You're close to the players. I mean, it's fun.
Yeah, and that part of campus is really coming alive. You know, they're building a huge research facility out there. It's different now, I mean, than probably if you're an alumni and you went there 10 years ago. That area is completely changed, and it's going to continue to change. The campus is moving south. The silos are coming down over there, but the same type of movement with the soccer stadium is happening on the academic side, on that side of the stadium, over by baseball, which is really, really neat to watch and see as an alumni and see how the campus is growing, and go out there for that reason. And then you can go catch a really good baseball. Like Dan McDonald says, I just need a crumb. And I guarantee you, and that's in baseball terms, but if as a fan term, you go out there and you get yourself a little crumb of Louisville baseball, you're going to get addicted. You're going to have an appetite for more because it's a really fun game. They're really good kids. And
we're getting pros, folks.
Yeah. And
I think 8 was tied for the most of any team. I don't know if that went on and Louisville fell off the one spot.
They've had a ton of players the last 2 years.
They were tied for first with like 4 teams as most players drafted. So we're not just exciting brand of ball. I mean, this is back-to-back Omaha. This is tons of players going to the professional leagues.
Yeah.
This is a very cheap, awesome date with your kids. I mean, this is just...
It is. I mean, you know, you got to think about it. I think there's like 46 kids in the farm systems out of the University of Louisville, and all those kids are going to be moving towards the major leagues, and they're not all going to make it. It's tough to get break into that.
Yeah.
It's probably the hardest to break in out of any professional sport because the whole world plays it.
What player would you want from last year's team and this year's Omaha?
What player would I have wanted?
Yeah, wanted back. We put a few in the pros.
I mean, you know, I think Ty Young would have been great. I mean, Chittenden was nice. We'd like to have Coco Johnson to move Jeff Gardner back to first base, but Nick Solak. You know, where does he fit in if Gardner's playing
first? Solak was huge for us, yeah.
You know,
that's
so,
maybe a freshman you don't see at all, you know, and we know how important he was.
But I think, like, Ty Young, just for me, like, watching, he was batting, like, 440 going into the postseason. Mm-hmm. By the time postseason was done, he was down to, like, 330-something. And he's a very, very good ball player. He just went into, like, one of those stupid slumps that nobody can explain and doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I think maybe him. Coco Johnson would have been nice. you know, if I could pick a pitcher, it would have been Thompson, of course. Yeah. But we had a good staff.
Yeah, we had a good pitching
staff. If you could have gone Funkhauser, Thompson,
yeah,
I mean, shut the door.
Yeah.
Maybe that would be my answer. But Kitson pitched better than Funkhauser did this year, so maybe it doesn't make any difference in the end. So we'll see.
Well, a lot to look forward to for next year for Dan McDonald is they have a shot. They always have a shot to go back to Omaha again. They've been back-to-back. It would be incredible if they can make that three times in a row. Obviously, a much harder road going through ACC. A lot of good baseball programs. Yeah. Virginia currently playing for the national title against Vanderbilt. Florida State probably should have made it to Omaha. Miami can play baseball. It goes North Carolina's always. And it seems to be in Omaha. Yep. So it's going to be a great year to get your feet wet with baseball if you missed out on this year's fun.
Yeah, and, you know, the ACC, that's happening like Tuesday of next week. It's going to be amazing.
And they're serious. ACC is serious about their baseball.
They're very serious about a lot of their sports.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the best soccer is in the ACC, best field hockey, the best lacrosse, the best basketball. Very, very good baseball and football.
Yeah.
These sports that we've been playing for a long time in the middle and some obscurity in terms of our conference, they're not in obscurity anymore. They're at the highest level that they can possibly be at, and that's going to happen next week. Louisville will become an official member. I'm already getting press releases for the ACC. I'm going to go to the press conferences and the media days for football. I can't wait.
Yeah,
they can't wait either. There's going to be a huge party at 4th Street Live on July 1st. Every single mascot in the ACC will be represented.
15 hairy covered birds.
Weird-looking
rams.
Things. Yeah. And there's
hurricane birds.
Yeah. John Swofford, the commissioner of the ACC, will be in attendance.
And he's going to be naked.
Yeah, we're going to make him get naked for not inviting us in the beginning. You know,
we're going to make him get naked. I don't see why this is the punishment.
It's the Pittsburgh, Syracuse.
I don't see why this is necessary at all. I mean, I'd rather you cuss me out.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm still mad at him for not inviting us in the first place, but I'm happy to be there. And, you know, on July 1st, we don't have to worry about this anymore. Moving forward, it's going to be awesome.
All right, well, that wraps up baseball for this year. Good luck next year to Dan McDonald's team. I know he's got a baseball camp going on right now. I don't know if there's any subsequent camps, but certainly check that out. But let's go ahead and move now to the topic of the week. All right, Mark, NBA draft, Thursday night special, Russ Smith playing his tail off, impressing lots of people. He has gone from a first-team All-American who's going to get his jersey hung in the rafters to, like, no one's talking about him.
Yep.
And then everyone talks about him all year long on TV, but when it comes to the pro talk, drops. But a little reverse Teddy effect. He's actually getting people that seem to be in his corner as he is impressing people through these draft camps.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody knows this by now, that you and I probably are some of the biggest Russ Smith fans on the planet. So we really want him to be at a level, like, I want him to go to a good situation. I think we kind of resigned ourselves at this point, knowing what the draft pundits are saying, that he's not going to be a first rounder, even though I think he would deserve it. But I think he's going to be in the middle of the second. I think he's going to find himself. And the great news is the Minnesota Timberwolves have 3 second-round picks. So the Minnesota train has a really good chance of keeping rolling.
And that state just loves Louisville sports.
Yeah, they are loving us.
Asia
right
Taylor,
now.
Nick Birdie, Teddy Bridgewater, Gorgie Jang.
Gorgie.
Rick Pitino Jr.
Rick Pitino.
I'm sure there's someone I'm forgetting. That would be.
I don't think so. I think you got it. But that's solid, man.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
All those kids and Richard in one place. And it's kind of – I'm hoping they're throwing little parties together, you know, little wine and cheese movie nights whenever they're all off. I mean, it would make sense. And if you can add Russ Smith into there, the more the better. I think we might have to get, like, a timeshare up in Minneapolis or something. And the Super Bowl is coming there.
There has to be, like, a U of L package. Like, you know how U of L will sell, like, 3 or 4 games to basketball?
Well,
there needs to be a cross-pro – sport package for U of L fans, which is one baseball game, one basketball game, one female basketball game.
There has to
just
be
go straight across.
There has to be a moment on the calendar where baseball, maybe this is in the fall, baseball, football, and basketball and women's basketball, maybe they all play around the same time. I don't know about women's. That might not be. That might be the one that we have to eliminate because of their. They have a limited schedule that's mostly summer. But if you could find a time where it was baseball, football, and basketball, like 3-day package, take a little road trip, little bus trip up to Minneapolis, see the Great Lakes, the land of 1,000 Cardinals, yeah. And you know, I think it would be amazing.
Yeah,
like, we gotta make that happen. How do we do it?
Well, Shane Bohannon's obviously been trying to pick up the pieces of everything that he has been struggling with and trying to get drafted. Sports Illustrated had a piece. I'm sure many of you all probably saw it by now. Seth Davis had he talked to 6 different NBA scouts and put together, and he has a fictitious scout he names Finch, which basically he kind of combines the sentiment of these folks and kind of gives like he's talking to one person. So I'm imagining that that he's probably taking some of these sentences, like a direct quote sentence from different people.
I'm sure he
that,
is.
You know, because if the tone and the tenor is kind of the same, then he's like, well, I'll just kind of build my couple sentences this way. For Shane, didn't fare so well, says the fictitious Finch, says he does nothing for me. That kid can't get out of his own way, which we certainly can agree.
We know that he can't get out of his way. Yeah.
And hopefully he can figure that out. And for Russ, I don't like tiny guys that shoot up all the balls. He's got to be a point guard, but that's not what he does. By the way, those are people that haven't watched him recently. He's only about 160 pounds. Okay, that doesn't mean anything. It's so hard for guys that size, but he was terrific in an L.A. workout. He was more unselfish with the ball than I've ever seen when he was in college. That's because Rick asked him not to pass. He asked him to score.
Right.
Pay attention. It's not like Rick couldn't control Russ, and he's probably the fastest player in the draft. And
I can guarantee you
that
he's
is
the
very
fastest
accurate.
Player. Yeah, he's absolutely the fastest player in the draft. Russ did. He measured in at 6'1", 160 at the combine, and he's been doing nothing but playing his ass off the entire time he's been in this NBA evaluation process. He's been playing better in these workouts than a lot of these guys that are projected to go in the first round. And so for me, if you want a productive player, you draft Russ Smith.
Yeah.
If you're the Timberwolves and you have Ricky Rubio and you need a backup point guard,
just come in, cause some hysteria on the floor.
Why wouldn't you want
offensively
him?
And defensively?
I mean, that's the thing. Everybody focuses on his offense, but he is a defensive dynamo.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a guy who, if he didn't have basketball, could be a thief.
Yeah.
Master thief. Like, he could be working he could be pickpocketing people on New York subway if he didn't have basketball and make a healthy living at it because he's got the fastest hands probably on the planet.
And you can ask a lot of current
then
pros.
Then you can't catch him.
In the Russ video I kicked out, there are clips of him just totally just ripping the ball from Michael Carter-Williams, the Rookie of the Year.
I mean,
Russ is, in the pro game especially, being that the lanes are wider and that, you know, it's their the way they you know, call defense is a little bit different. No one can stay in front of Russ, period.
Oh, I mean.
And now he's got a wider lane and a bigger lane to pass or shoot in.
Right. Help comes from further away in the NBA because these guys they're elite athletes. I mean, when you're in the NBA, you better be able to, you know, handle your own job. And that's what everybody's expected to do. But there's very few human beings who can stay in front of Russ Smith with the ball in his hands. And I think that's going to be a huge asset.
Some team needs that.
You know, and he can get up his own shot.
Some team has a real tall point guard that says, that's great if we ever have to post him up. But we can't seem to break a defense down.
Right.
And then that's the team that needs Russ.
In order to post up Russ Smith, you have to be able to get the ball into the lane, inside the arc. And if you can't do that, then your guy's worthless.
Yeah.
And we proved that a lot with Russ and Peyton together and how fast they were. They used their speed to their advantage. They had super fast hands. Russ is faster than Peyton, and, you know, Russ shoots it better than Peyton. So, I mean, Russ has a place in the NBA. Where that is, I'm not sure. I know that he will be drafted. I don't expect for Luke Hancock to be drafted. I don't expect for Shane Bohannon, certainly, to be drafted. I do think Luke will do very well in summer league. I think he'll be a priority summer league player for some team that needs a shooter, and you know, he's faster than he appears, Luke is. And
he's just crafty, you know?
Right.
It's like there's certainly raw speed, and then there's smart speed. So that's like I know where to be at the right time. So it's like I just kind of hedge over there. It's like, well, how'd you get here? It's like, well, I kind of knew you were heading this way.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to outrun you to this spot. I just kind of knew you were going that way. So I just stepped over early.
I beat you.
I just decided moseying this way.
Right. And I do think Shane Bohannon needs to get his passport in order because I don't think he will be in the NBA. I don't see an NBA team taking a 6'6 power forward who's
probably not 6'6.
Who doesn't have a great shot and has a lot of character issues. I mean, we all know that Shane Bohannon had more than one chance at the University of Louisville. He never took it seriously. We also saw him not take basketball seriously, and he is an ultra-talented young man.
Yeah.
But if he...
I would argue he's about as athletic as they come for the NBA.
Yes, you know? I would too.
You know, as far as pure athleticism, jumping, strength, speed. I mean, I think for his size, he has amazing athletic ability, but his arms aren't really long. They're kind of proportionate. His hands are actually small for his size, and you know how they are about their measurements. So he's already missing out on the measurements. He's probably only 6'5 without shoes. As a power forward in the NBA, or there's plenty of 6'10 guys.
Yeah.
So he's short. His arms aren't very long. His hands are kind of small, and he has been in and out of drug, rehab. So I think, that is going to be maybe he's a free agent pickup. Someone takes a flyer on him, but he's certainly not getting drafted.
I mean, the drug thing.
I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, the drug thing is a major problem, and I hope I'm wrong too, but I'm just thinking about his production while he was here at University of Louisville. He had a lot of really good stretches, and he had a lot of really bad stretches, and Rick Pitino's talked about how Shane Bohannon needs to take basketball seriously. If you can produce the way that he produced without taking basketball seriously, then you're probably one of the most talented basketball players in the world. But the problem is you have to refine your basketball talent in order to play in the NBA, because every single dude in the NBA is a basketball junkie. Every single dude in the NBA is a first team all conference. Like, you just don't get to the NBA.
Yeah.
You don't walk up, show up there.
Yeah.
You can do that in college, you can do that in high school, but there's a different level to this, and Shane Bohannon didn't meet it.
Yeah. And and a lot of people ask, I'll say it too. It's like, man, I wish we had Shane Bohannon in the damn NCAA tournament. I mean, to have an extra bull rebounder like that, and then some people will say, well, Montrez sure upped his game when Shane, he upped how hard he worked in his practices, that he wasn't necessarily playing that type of basketball when Shane was in for the first few games.
Right.
That Montrez really turned it on about midseason of working his tail off to cover for Shane. So it's hard to know where Montrez would be as far as his development, because it's certainly skyrocketed. But you can't say no to a Shane Bohannon if he can be on your squad. And I sure wish we had him against Kentucky, a game we didn't even need him because we were winning 39 minutes. I'm still mad about that loss.
I think that if Montrez was in this draft, I think that they'd have seen his measurements. They'd have seen how enormous his hands are.
They know his motor.
They'd have seen his length. They'd have seen his motor, like you just said. Yep. And they would have been in love.
Yeah.
I mean, I really think that.
The only thing they'd be like, we want to see more 15-foot shots.
Right.
And that's it.
In a lot of ways.
And he's got that shot, by the way, folks. He's been hitting it since his freshman year. He just doesn't need to shoot him. We don't pull him out like that.
Because guess what? The dunk's a little bit higher percentage than the jump shot. So.
Yeah. So and that's kind of like maybe one of those unfair analysis that they think that he's not shooting them because he can't shoot them. He's not shooting them because that's where the offense is putting him.
Right.
You know, just like Russ. It's like the scout that said, he was sharing the ball a lot in the pro draft day workouts, more than I've ever seen him do it in college. It's like, well, Russ did exactly what Rick asked him to do strategically.
Yeah.
And, and Russ tried to prove it against the national champions on senior day, UConn, where we rolled him by 40. Russ literally took 5 shots, had 13 assists, and people just want to pretend like that game didn't even happen. It's like, if Russ wants to pass, he can pass.
Yeah, and I think Montrez probably would have played. He would have been like 20th, I think, Montrez.
Oh, for the draft?
I think he would have not gone past 20.
It would have been tough for lottery. This is a lot of really strong players. You know, not necessarily all stars or anything like that, but just a lot of major starters are coming out of this draft, I think.
I think so, and I think when you talk about the NBA draft, usually your first five picks are your franchise changers. And then after that, it becomes need-based. And then at the very bottom of the first round, you get the teams that don't want to disrupt their salary cap. So they either trade the pick or draft an international player so they don't have to actually sign them. So, you know, it kind of got a little wishy-washy at that because I think he would have been – really close to the lottery. I think he might have been just outside of it, but it would have been need based. Who needs a power forward?
Yeah,
because he's going to be a great power forward. Yep. I think in the NBA. I don't know if he'll be an all star or anything.
Coming
like that. I hope
soon
he is.
To an NBA near you next year.
Right, but I think he's going to be a very very solid pickup for somebody, and it's going to play for a long time.
All right, so what's your let's put a number on it. Shane not drafted.
Shane,
do you think Shane gets a free agent contract?
No, I think he'll play in the summer league, and I don't think he'll get picked up. I think Luke will play in the summer league. I do think he'll get selected. I don't know. I think he'll get picked up. I don't know if he'll.
You think
make the
Luke
team.
Will hit an NBA team and Shane won't?
I think. Well, the way this works, I mean, they bring a lot of guys into camp and then they whittle out the roster just like the NFL does. But they don't take as many players. I think Luke's going to have a chance. How healthy is his finger? I think it's good. Yeah. You know, I think he's got a great attitude. I think when they see his shot making ability and they can see his defense against the competition that he has.
Yeah.
Because I think he's a better defender than a lot. He's turned into a better defender.
Yeah, but he's slow footed. Yeah. And I think that's going to kill him. I think
that's going to be his biggest
I think Shane
problem.
Has a chance at the last free agent contract available in the NBA. I don't think Luke does. Mm-hmm. I think Russ will go top 40.
I think Russ goes at 40 to the Minnesota Timberwolves. If he doesn't, it's going to be interesting where they put him. I wouldn't be surprised if it's the 76ers at 39.
Who's in the 25 to 30?
25 to 30?
Yeah.
You talking about team?
Team,
or,
team picking.
25th is the Rockets.
Okay, he won't go there.
26th is the Miami Heat, and he actually
maybe.
Had an incredible workout for the Heat.
Maybe. And they're obviously losing a lot of players, so they're probably going to want playmakers.
And they're going to need cap space, so don't be surprised if they trade their first-round pick because they don't want to sign a rookie. They're going to try to probably go after Carmelo. 27, Jeremy Grant, Phoenix Suns. That's where
that's a maybe.
Yeah. The Los Angeles Clippers selected 28th.
I don't think
he'll go there. OKC at 29 would be interesting, but I don't think
they already got a Rusticulous.
I don't think they're gonna
not
have
the real one.
Yeah, they have the fake Rusticulous, the dude that likes to wear capri pants, Russell Westbrook. The Spurs would be super interesting at 30.
Yeah,
I really hope he doesn't go to Milwaukee at 31. 76ers again at 32.
That's a Philly
would be interesting.
Hey, Philly.
Yeah, and then we start the draft over at 33 in the second round with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I think Philly, Miami. I don't know if San Antonio really is serious about it, but that'd be cool. And Phoenix Suns, you know, it's pretty wide open stuff.
I think the 55th pick for the Miami Heat, if the Heat, because the Heat liked them.
Yeah.
They really did. And the Pacers liked them too.
LeBron liked him, by the way.
Yeah. I think
LeBron has tweeted about Russ Smith on a couple occasions. I think it was more during the championship season.
Okay.
But so there's always there's I like that dude out of LeBron's mouth. So
yeah.
LeBron obviously has said that he's gonna opt out perhaps, mm-hmm. so he may not be back with the Heat. But I think he's got the world's best player saying, "Hey, that dude's fun to watch."
Yeah. I think if you go towards the bottom here, you know, the Spurs have two picks at the end of the draft. I like him with the Spurs with Popovich.
And
I think
he would be he's the classic type of guy. Spurs, right? The guy that no one would. Why would they draft that guy? That is 100% about team basketball.
Right.
That is 100% a skill set you can't really put your finger on, but just is hard to stop.
Yeah.
I think he'd be perfect for. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Now, it wouldn't be that amazing because in a couple years they're all going to retire and they'll be terrible. But it would be great to be on that team for a year or two because. Because Tim Duncan did announce he's at the age now where he has to announce if he's going to come back or retire. He did announce he is coming back.
He's coming back.
So,
and he, you know, Russ could have an opportunity to play behind Tony Parker,
yeah,
which would be great. And Tony plays limited minutes throughout the year because of his health.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting. Russ could actually play a lot. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Spurs pick a point guard up at the, you know, if they have a first round pick, which they do at number 30. But, you know, we'll see. They may be also trying to have a tutor for Tim Duncan's replacement and try to find somebody at that point. But, you know, it's going to be very, very interesting for Russ. And it's going to be very interesting for Luke Hancock in the summer league. I don't think Shane Bohannon is going to have a very interesting summer league, but I hope he does. You know, I just,
well, the key to Shane will just be, can he average like 15 rebounds a game? And I think he can.
Yeah, turn
but
into
that like will be 100%. The thing is, like, you are just going to have to show that you can provide a role for a team, mm-hmm. and like a really dependable role for a team. So if Shane wants to go pro, he'll be less concerned about them saying about they want to see him hit a 15-foot jumper, and he'd be more concerned with trying to get 15 rebounds.
Turn into Ben Wallace.
Anybody will take a guy that's averaging tons of rebounds.
I think so too. I mean, if you're playing great defense,
and he's capable of doing that when his mindset is on, you can't stop that guy.
Yeah, you can't take any plays off. All summer league long, Shane. You just can't.
We're rooting for you, bud.
Yeah, we're
get
rooting
it done.
For you, man.
Get it done.
Sorry to hate on you, dude. But, I'm just telling you the truth. You know, it's just the way the world works. There's only 60 spots in the draft. Every team has a limited amount of players. There's only
so many.
So
many good players don't get picked. Yeah. So many good.
So many great. I mean, Sean Kilpatrick, Draft Express.
Yeah.
You know, first team All American.
Yeah.
Draft Express has him going 57th.
Yeah.
Just to kind of tell you what we're working with here.
Yeah.
So this is more of a reality thing than it is anything. And I think Sean Kilpatrick is way better than the 57th pick.
Yeah.
I think he's whatever team he goes to will be great.
All they did was watch him shoot free throws this year. They have no idea what he can do.
They have no idea what he can do. And like
every time I saw him, he was shooting a free throw.
Because he stood there and dribbled the ball forever. You know, yeah. he dribbled it for 15 seconds, had a free throw violation every single time on the time limit.
All right, anyway. That will do it for Topic of the Week. Good luck to Russ. Good luck to Shane. Good luck to Luke. Good luck to Hendo.
Yeah, maybe Steven Van Treese.
We should have thrown
maybe Van Treese gets selected.
Who knows?
That would be awesome.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, we think you all are going. So we're going to move on now to program updates. All right, we'll move quickly because this show's kind of running long. And by the way, I'm working on a video that I'm going to be kicking out next week right around the ACC announcement called Heroes, which will touch on the great year that we did have. Hard to compare it to a year of the Cardinal, but actually it was very good and a lot of cool moments, and we're going to have a good show for you. But just to hit on a couple things, Mark's already touched on it, is the ACC announcements July 1st. That's a Tuesday or Wednesday?
I think it's a Tuesday, okay. Actually, yeah. And it's going to be down at 4th Street Live. It's going to be a free event. Obviously, if you want a drink, you're going to need to buy that, but it's free to get in. And it's going to be really fun. I have a lot of surprises in store for you there. And what day is your video dropping? Estimated?
Probably Tuesday.
Probably the day of
it could
on
be.
Tuesday. Okay.
I mean, I think it would be good to kind of – it may be Monday. It just depends on like right now we're recording. I need to be working. So it depends on when I can get it done. But
yeah.
At the latest Tuesday. But I'm definitely going to get it done before the ACC announcement. So.
Got it. Well, we're going to have a good time at the party.
That's good.
And we're going to have a love your video. I can't wait to see that. So
good. Hope you like it. And congratulations to Jeff Gardner.
Yeah.
The man has been senior class award first team All-American. Congratulations to him. So Jeff Gardner is a senior we're going to miss. You know, he didn't have the best postseason. He wasn't quite hitting the ball as well as he was during the year. But obviously a senior class first team All-American, we're going to miss his bat next year. And what else we got here?
The women's volleyball team released their schedule. It's all Big East stuff. It's like crazy packed with like really good volleyball teams. You want to check them out. Louisville went on a really nice run in football recruiting since our last recording. They've now up to like 7 commitments,
yeah.
which are great.
And some more transfers.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of people are complaining about the transfers, but all I can say is think about it this way. We already talked to death about Bobby Petrino being in the homes of terrible kids that are good enough to play at Western Kentucky. And before that, he wasn't even coaching football, not in homes. So he has to catch up and get in these homes and get to know these coaches all over again. And he's got a good staff for that. But in the meantime, he can leverage all NFL Buckley and Georgia Grantham's huge reputation.
Guy's outperforming everybody right
now. He is. I mean, he put so many guys in the pros from Georgia that – We're just going to have to live off really high quality transfers, which is what we're getting, until those homes get used to Bobby Petrino showing up with the staff, because they haven't seen him for 3 years.
The 2015 class right now is solid. Who they are going after, they're big time kids. But the disadvantage that they have is that they didn't get a chance to work on 2015 last year.
Right.
They are now
showing up right now.
They're showing up now. They've been showing up since.
We'll steal a few.
Bobby. This is going to be a good class. But the class, just like Charlie's good class, it didn't get started rolling until year two, because he had a chance to work on both classes, the incoming juniors and the incoming seniors. That's how you do it. You do it simultaneously. Nobody recruits one class at a time. It just doesn't happen.
Right.
And, Louisville has had to do that, this year. They're having to work on both classes at the same time, but they didn't have that last year. So it's going to be interesting, but I was talking to somebody, a couple of these, we're trying to get some things together for some of these podcasts later. I've been talking to some of our former players that have visited with Bobby Petrino.
Great.
And one of the things that I can pass along is that several people that have talked to Coach Petrino have told him that the class that he has here at the University of Louisville for 2014, that this roster is the most talented roster he's ever had at any level ever.
Even the pros?
Well,
was it the Jacksonville Jaguars?
No, as a head coach in college football.
In college football.
And so if you think about that,
oh, man, I was excited if we were better than the Jaguars, though.
Yeah, that would, they may be able to make
last
a run
year's
out.
No. Jaguars, when he was their Jaguars.
But if you think about that, 2003
yeah.
to 2006, he was the Louisville coach.
Yeah, I mean, he kicked out mega pros during his time at U of L. Yeah.
And then at 2008 through 2012, he was the coach at, or 2011, yeah. He was the coach at Arkansas.
Yeah.
And then last year, of course, he was at Western Kentucky. But he told a foreign player that this was his most talented.
That's great.
The biggest collection.
So only real, besides the schedule upgrade, tougher opponents, the only real hurdle that we have is just team chemistry, new players playing together for the first time, and then, of course, new systems, getting the systems down.
Their concerns right now was
communication,
same
breakdowns
as ours, the safety position. They have a lot of bodies there, and the defense has a chance to be very good if the safeties get shored up.
Okay.
We feel good about the safeties for next year, but we need answers today.
All right. Well, speaking of football, we also have to congratulate Mr. Devontae Parker.
Yes, he's on the cover of Athlon Sports preseason.
And he's a preseason four-team All-American.
Yep, All-American. And if there's six better wide receivers than Devontae Parker, I haven't seen him. But, still,
if there's six better than Devontae Parker, I can guarantee you that they are not.
Yeah, I can pretty much guarantee. There might be one or two. I don't know. You might get – I think he's the best wide receiver in the country. I think he's going to show that in the ACC. I think that when he does what he did last year with the schedule that's coming up, I think this is going to be hands down first receiver off the board, and especially after they go and combine him and he works out for teams and he runs the 40 and he does the bench, because he's a freak athlete. He is a major freak athlete, and he's going to be a lot of fun to watch in the NFL.
Another football hit is Teddy Bridgewater. If you saw on NFL.com, we certainly had a post on our website, thecrunchzone.com, that Teddy Bridgewater is one of the winners of minicamp, and that is a surprise to absolutely nobody who wears red.
At all.
And it's a surprise to everybody who hated on Teddy the whole time.
Yep.
But as Forrest Gump, Gump Teddy style says, Teddy is as Teddy does, and he's always been awesome for us.
He has an ESPN on Tuesday. They made a prediction, bold prediction, that Calvin Pryor would be the defensive rookie of the year for the New York Jets, for the league, out of the New York Jets. So that's huge.
Wow.
We're still kind of figuring out what Marcus Smith, people still, I don't know if they know what to do with him yet, but he's going to be good for the Eagles. But if Calvin Pryor has potential to be the defensive rookie of the year, and if the Vikings do what they think that they're going to do with Teddy Bridgewater, he has a chance to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. That would be a big middle finger to the college football of a year ago who, hated on Louisville and hated on Teddy, all the NFL scouts and all that stuff. And I hope they do it because I'm going to put that on a billboard somewhere.
Yeah, I'm going to – large letters, suck it.
Suck it, and right in front of all their homes.
That's right. I'm building a billboard in your neighbor's yard. Yeah, he approved this.
In your front yard.
Well, all right, folks. You know, we're on, like I said, summer schedule. So every 2 weeks, that's going to wrap it up for this week's Crunch Zone podcast. Don't forget, you can check us out on our website, thecrunchzone.com. You can check us out on Louisville.am, our partner. And you can certainly set us up on all the different apps, Stitcher.com, we're on there.
iTunes.
You can set us up for immediate download. So check us out, because as Mark said, he's got a lot of former players, a lot of awesome players that we're not going to spoil the surprise now. We've got a lot of interviews coming up heading into football season with guys who not only know U of L football, who are not only good at U of L football, but also played for and know Bobby Petrino. So it's something to be excited about.
Absolutely. I cannot wait to start doing preseason coverage on thecrunchzone.com. Of football, but I'm going to wait till the time is right. We're going to enjoy this summer. We're going to enjoy the news as it comes, and then we're going to start pushing out a ton of football coverage as much as I can possibly fit into your brain. I'm going to try to place from my brain to yours,
Sheriff style,
and we're going to.
It's an all-you-can-eat buffet of football coming your way.
And we're gonna segment it out just like we did last year. We're not gonna put it all in one post, so you have to wait, you know, all week for it. We're gonna put it out in pieces so that you can slowly consume it rather than trying to stuff it
all.
Read
the novella.
Exactly. This isn't the Golden Corral. This is more like a you know, like a little
Ponderosa.
Yeah. Not really.
Oh, is that the exact same thing?
No. What I think they are. Yeah. More like those little Mexican places, like mojitos, you know, like tapas, you know, like a little here, a little there.
Okay.
Eventually, you've had a whole meal. So
football tapas style. So look for that. Don't forget, we've got the video Heroes coming out next week around the timeline of the Louisville's announcement to the ACC. And we'll catch you back here in 2 weeks. Maybe we'll start off with one of those football interviews, so make sure to check us out. Thanks a lot for joining us on thecrunchzone.com. Mark, any last words?
Go Cards, go USA.
Louisville first, Cards forever. I promise to rep the veal and nothing but...